This is Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole, with your host Sue Bushka from Bushka Retirement Solutions and Cole Bruner from Bushka Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Sue and Cole provide their clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here with the financial information you need are Sue and Cole.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. My name is Cole Bruner from Bushka Wealth Management, and joining me, as usual, is my mom, Sue Bushka, from Bushka Retirement Solutions, as well as our co-host, Tony Shore. Now, everyone out there listening, if you at any point during our show today want to get some more information, feel free to give us a call at 715-355-4445. Or, of course, you can check us out online at retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka.com. Be sure to check out the radio and TV show pages out there. You can see some of our recent episodes and catch up on some of those if you've missed any recent ones. You can also check out all of the other tools and resources that we have on the website, information about our consultations, information about the reports we can run for you, and all sorts of additional beneficial information out there. So make sure you spend some time on the website. So here you are, finally retired, and this is, of course, what you've been working so hard for such a long period of time. No more mind-numbing bumper-to-bumper commutes, no more 9 p.m. dinners in the office, no more 3 a.m. emails demanding you respond immediately. You have the world in the palm of your retired hand now. And thanks to that hard work and a dose of financial discipline, you've got a flow of income that's coming in every month. That sounds pretty good, right? But then, on some seemingly normal afternoon, you head to the mailbox and discover a letter from the IRS informing you there's an issue with one of your retirement accounts. During today's episode, we're going to discuss how many different kinds of retirement income are taxed so that you can hopefully feel more confident that your financial strategy is completely squared away. But before we venture into the exciting world of taxes, let's make sure to say hello to everyone here with us, Sue and Tony. Tony, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Cole. Thanks for asking, and thanks for having me on the show. Love to be here with you and Sue. You guys are great, and our listeners are fantastic. This is going to be a good episode because everybody needs to know how to minimize that tax burden in retirement, and I don't think a lot of people know about taxes in retirement and how much they'll have to pay. But first, yes, I've had a great summer so far. Just sad. It's winding down. But Sue Bushka, I want to know how you've been. You've been busy, right?
I am doing really good. Been busy, busy, busy. And it's extremely hot out today. High humidity. So I think it's going to be maybe over 100 today with the heat index.
Yeah, it's so crazy hot.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll take this
heat before
the cold. I like it
better than winter, for sure.
Oh,
the sub-zero temps, I'll take heat and humidity over that.
Me too.
I just can't believe how fast summer has gone.
I know.
It's like we're nearing the end of summer already. September is almost here, and oh gosh,
I can't even
believe it.
Yep.
I'm not ready for what's to come.
No,
and
me
you've
neither.
Been busy, haven't you, Cole?
Oh, you bet. Yep, I know that. Lately, we've been meeting with a lot of our radio and TV show listeners and viewers that have been contemplating retirement and trying to figure out, you know, if the time is right and all of these different things, taxation. And, you know, obviously with what we've dealt with over the course of the last year and a half, there's a lot of people out there questioning whether now is the right time to retire. And so I think it does present a unique opportunity to sit down with, of course, a financial professional to determine, is that feasible? You know, I mean, you don't know until you know. And of course, if you've never investigated it, then how do you know whether it's something to postpone or something that you can press forward with? So that's certainly been keeping us busy lately.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think planning this time of year, people send their kids off to school, off to college, and they get really down to brass tacks, as they say, when it comes to their finances. So I know you guys get busy. And I think we want to make sure we're following the rules. I mean, nobody gets super excited to talk about taxes. However, it is important to understand how to plan for future taxes because they can make an impact in retirement, right?
Oh, I agree completely, Tony. And while some parts of your financial lives do get a little easier during retirement, taxes are something that you need to keep yourself informed about, especially when changes occur. Now, there was a Kiplinger article entitled How 13 Types of Retirement Income Get Taxed, and it explains how many common sources of retirement income are taxed and what you can do within your financial strategy to address your tax needs. Now, I do encourage the people that we work with to view taxes like this. Now, as your retirement date draws closer, you're likely to begin thinking about things like dream vacations, maybe finally learning how to scuba dive, or adventures that you'll have with your grandkids. And that's really great, but while planning for those things, you can sit down with your financial services professional and your tax professional to come up with a tax strategy that gives you more flexibility to enjoy all those things that make retirement so much fun.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, the idea of building a retirement tax strategy probably sounds daunting and honestly not like a lot of fun, but that's why working with yourselves, financial services professionals, makes so much sense because you can guide people all the way through this process, right?
Oh, absolutely, Tony. That's a great point. And, you know, I mean, one of the advantages of a lot of our clients have mentioned of working with our firm is the fact that we, of course, have our financial professionals and our tax professional working side by side to provide guidance to our clients, process their tax return for them, and, you know, try to make that planning process as easy as possible. So I think that that adds some value as well from what I've been told. Now, the article first focuses on traditional 401ks and traditional IRAs. Now, initially, these tax-deferred accounts will reduce your taxable income potentially, which will save you some money during the current tax year. And then, of course, savings, dividends, and investment gains with these accounts will grow tax-deferred into the future. However, it's easy to forget that you'll eventually have to pay taxes on this money when you do retire and you begin collecting withdrawals. And those are applicable to gains and your pre-tax or deductible contributions.
Yeah, good to know. Withdrawals can't be put off forever, though, right?
That's absolutely correct. And as the article notes, required minimum distributions, or RMDs, begin at age 73 for folks with traditional 401ks and IRAs. People who worked beyond 72 may be able to delay RMDs from their current employer's 401k until they formally retire, so long as they don't own more than 5% of the company that they're employed with. So you must note that the tax rate that you'll pay on a traditional 401k or IRA withdrawals will be taxed at your ordinary income rate. But if you take money before you turn 59 and a half, you may be hit with a 10% penalty that's in addition to your regular tax bill.
And for me, the notion of having to fork over 10% in penalties because of early withdrawals is more than enough reason to avoid that route. I mean, unless I just didn't have another choice, but you want to avoid those penalties, whether it's because you miss an RMD or because you take money out before you're 59 and a half. And I don't know who celebrates half birthdays or why they would use a half year. again, I have a problem with that. Only 5-year-olds celebrate half years. So I'm not sure what's going on over there at the IRS, but yeah, I mean, you want to avoid those penalties, right? Right, Cole?
Oh, absolutely. And first of all, speak for yourself, Tony. I still celebrate my half birthday. So.
Okay.
So yeah, I've always wondered why the 59 and a half too. That's always been a little questionable from my perspective also.
Yeah.
Let's next talk about Roth IRAs, which of course are really attractive to some people because while your Roth contributions aren't going to be tax deductible, your eventual withdrawals could be tax-free. There are a couple of other things to consider with Roth IRAs. First, you have to have your Roth IRA account for at least 5 years prior to beginning tax-free withdrawals. And that ticker begins as soon as money is deposited into your account, whether it's via a contribution or a conversion from a traditional IRA. Secondly, while you may be able to withdraw the amount you contributed at any time tax-free, in most cases, you're required to be at least 59.5 to withdraw any gains without getting hit with that 10% early withdrawal penalty.
So, yeah, that makes perfect sense. So you want to be careful there again. But one thing I think a lot of people have misconceptions about regarding taxes in retirement, and that's Social Security. So, Sue, what is the tax picture for Social Security exactly?
Well, Tony, while many Social Security recipients won't have to pay taxes on their benefits, some will. Now, depending on their provisional income. Now, some people may even end up paying federal income tax on as much as 85% of their benefits. Again, depending on their provisional income. So if your provisional income is less than $25,000 or $32,000 for married couples filing a joint return, your Social Security benefits are tax-free. Now, if your provisional income is between $25,000 and $34,000 or between $32,000 and $44,000 for joint filers, as much as 50% of your benefits are taxable. Now, if your provisional income is larger than $34,000 or $44,000 for joint filers, as much as 85% of your benefits may be taxable.
Well, yeah, and I think that's really good. We should probably take a minute, in fact, to let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you, because they're going to have questions about this. We can get deep in the weeds with tax talk, but it is important and it can save you a lot of money if you have a strategy in place. How can our listeners get that goal?
Absolutely, Tony. They can give us a call anytime at 715-355-4445, or they can visit retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka.com. And of course, you can schedule that complimentary no obligation consultations. We can help answer some of your questions related to retirement taxes and your financial strategy and really your overall retirement goals.
And Sue and Cole, great show so far today. You've been talking about how different retirement income tools are taxed and how it can often be easy to forget that taxes are still a part of life during retirement. It's unfortunate, but true. And so far, you've talked about Social Security, Roth IRAs, traditional 401ks and IRAs. What's next on the agenda?
Well, Tony, that Kiplinger article I mentioned in the first segment next provides insight into pensions. Though not as common as they once were, many people still include a pension in their financial strategy. Now, pensions are funded with pre-tax money, and that means that the full amount of your pension will become taxable once you begin taking withdrawals. Now, generally, payments from both government and private pensions are taxed at your ordinary income rate. Now, if you haven't kicked in any after-tax contributions to your plan.
Right. And so for a lot of retirees out there, stocks, bonds, and mutual funds are also a big part of their retirement income. What's the tax picture with those investment type vehicles, Cole?
Well, Tony, as the article notes, if you sell stocks, bonds, or mutual funds that you've held for a minimum of 1 year, your money is going to be taxed at long-term capital gains rates, which are 0%, 15%, or 20%. Now, when you hold these numbers up against the top ordinary income tax rate of 37%, the difference is pretty significant. Now, those three percentages, 0, 15, or 20, are based on specific income caps that are adjusted annually for inflation. This year, the 0% rate applies to those with a taxable income of as much as $41,675 for single filers, or $55,800 for head of households, and finally $83,350 for joint filers. The 20% rate kicks in at $459,751 for single filers, and then $488,501 for head of households, and finally $517,201 for joint filers.
I think that's really important to note. What happens, though, and I'm going to skip to this because I think this is the big question, and that is selling at a loss. I know that sometimes there can be tax advantages to selling at a loss. What about that?
Well, Tony, it's quite simple. If you sell at a loss, that amount may offset capital gains for the year in addition to up to $3,000 of other income. Now, excess losses may be carried forward every year indefinitely, but are subject to the same tax treatment until those losses are exhausted.
Okay. See, that's really useful information, but it also seems as though the potential tax implications then for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds are complicated enough that you really need to work with a financial services professional who's working alongside tax professionals. That's a prudent move, isn't it, Cole?
Oh, absolutely, Tony. We're right there with you on that one because, of course, we have our own tax professional in our office. Now, let's discuss dividends. Now, many retirees own stock, whether directly or held through mutual fund shares. And as the article tells us, for tax purposes, dividends that are paid by companies to their stockholders are most often treated as qualified. Less often, those dividends are organized or categorized, I should say, as non-qualified. Now, qualified dividends are taxed at the long-term capital gains rates that we highlighted just a few minutes ago, and non-qualified dividends are taxed at your ordinary income rate. Now, often, shareholders must hold stock for a certain period of time in order to take complete advantage of capital gains rates for dividend payments. For example, dividends that are paid on common stock must be held for a minimum of 60 days inside the period that begins 60 days before and that concludes 60 days after the date that the company announces it's making a dividend payment.
That makes sense. Now, during previous conversations, we've talked about financial strategies that include annuities with the goal of using them to create retirement income. And I know that fixed index annuities are a really popular retirement vehicle right now, especially with all the baby boomers who have retired. So how are annuities taxed?
Well, Tony, it's possible that some, maybe even all, of the income you receive from the annuity will be taxable. Now, if you purchased an annuity that provides retirement income, the percentage of the payments that reflect your principal is tax-free, but the rest is taxable. So, for example, if you purchased an annuity for $150,000 and 10 years later it's worth $225,000, you'd be on the hook for $75,000 of earned interest. Now, you may also want to note that the insurance company that sold you the annuity must declare what's taxable. So furthermore, there are different rules if you bought your annuity with pre-tax money as from a traditional IRA, for example. Now, in that case, 100% of your annuity would be taxed as ordinary income.
Okay, so in your experience, Cole, do people tend to be surprised when they sit down with you and really begin to understand just how complex retirement taxes can be?
Well, Tony, as with anything else, it really depends on the individual client. We often work with people who do have a solid understanding of how their various retirement income tools will be taxed, but we also work with people who, while certainly they're aware that they'll pay some taxes during retirement, are surprised by all the ways that the government may get a piece of their retirement income. No matter what, though, we can work together to design a financial strategy that works simultaneously to provide retirement income while protecting you from taxes as much as possible.
Sure, and that's key right there. I just can't stress enough how our listeners out there need to work with financial professionals like yourselves to really get a tax strategy in place. Some people think because they're not going to be working any longer, they really won't have that many taxes in retirement, but that typically just isn't true these days. So I think it's huge. Now, let's keep things rolling. We've been tossing around some really good information, useful information. Sue, what do you have for us next?
Well, Tony, once again, that Kiplinger article we've been talking about next considers taxes on municipal bonds. And this is an area that may be of particular interest to some listeners because the interest that's earned on municipal bonds is exempt from federal taxes. and interest from bonds that are issued in your home state are also often exempt from state taxes. Now, make sure to research your state laws on this one, or you can also reach out to your financial services professional. Now, keep in mind, however, that capital gains may be subject to federal taxes if you decide to sell your municipal bonds.
Right. And so, obviously, a lot of people do utilize things like municipal bonds out there, and I think that is important. It seems like they might be a good addition to a lot of financial strategies, and it's worth a conversation with somebody like yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And now you should also be aware that ordinary income tax rates apply to the interest that you earn on money market accounts and corporate bonds. Capital gains rates may also apply if you elect to sell any of your corporate or municipal bonds, like we just mentioned. Now, I'm sure some of our listeners currently own some savings bonds. And when it comes to federal income taxes, interest on Series EE and I U.S. savings bonds is generally taxable at ordinary income tax rates in the year they mature, or when they are redeemed, whichever happens first. Now, folks with double H bonds report and pay federal income taxes on the interest annually as they receive payments. The article does add that interest on U.S. savings bonds is exempt from state and local income taxes, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's true. That's an eye-opener. What else should we know about savings bonds?
Well, if going back to school is something that you anticipate during retirement, you should be aware that interest on EE and I savings bonds that you use to pay for higher education expenses may be tax-free as long as certain rules are strictly followed. Now, the bonds must have been purchased after 1989 by someone who was at least 24 years old. Now, they must also be redeemed for college, graduate school, or vocational school tuition or fees for the bondholder, their spouse, or other dependents. Now, also, a grandparent can't take advantage of this particular tax break to help cover a grandchild's college tuition unless they claim that child as a dependent on their federal tax return. Now, the income exclusion also has certain limits. This year, it begins phasing out for joint filers with modified adjusted gross incomes larger than $128,650 and $85,500 for the rest of filers. Now, the tax break disappears completely when modified adjusted gross income exceeds $158,650 for joint filers and $100,800 for everyone else.
So how about taxes for life insurance proceeds? I know that a lot of people utilize life insurance or cash value insurance policies. How do taxes work with those?
That's a good question, Tony. A lot of people question that one. The proceeds you receive as the beneficiary of a life insurance policy when an insured person dies is often not taxable. But tax rules become more complex if you own the policy and surrender it for cash. Now, of course, a financial services professional may help you conclude whether your proceeds are taxable or not. Now, things that you should make sure to clarify would include if you're the policyholder who surrendered the life insurance policy for cash, is the amount you received larger than the cost of the policy? And if you're the beneficiary, what is the face value of the policy, if specified? And if you're receiving installments, is there a refund or a period certain guarantee? And finally, were federal income taxes withheld from the policy's proceeds?
Those are all great questions and things we really need to know. Now, on previous shows, you've talked a lot about how retirees want to downsize, maybe downsize their home or the way they live, maybe put that extra money in a bank account because they simply no longer need a larger home that they raise their family in. Sue, how are home sales taxed? How does that work?
Well, that's an excellent question, Tony, particularly when you realize that for many retirees, their home is often their most valuable asset. But the good news is that tax laws often provide generous federal income tax breaks when you sell your primary residence for a profit. Now, if you've both owned and used your property as your primary residence for at least 2 out of the last 5 years before the sale, you're allowed to exclude up to $250,000 of the profit from your income. And that amount balloons up to $500,000 for married couples who file a joint return. So profits exceeding those $250,000 and $500,000 caps are taxed at long-term capital gain rates.
Okay, that's good to know. You always have to watch out for capital gains and regular income tax rates. Make sure you're working with a professional. And, you know, we've been getting a lot of questions. Cole, you briefly talked about this just a minute ago, but remind us what you know about potential taxes on life insurance proceeds. So if I'm the beneficiary of a life insurance policy.
Sure, Tony. It explains that in many cases, the money that you receive as the beneficiary of the life insurance policy is not going to be taxable.
Right.
But as I had just mentioned, the tax situation does get a little more complicated if you're the policyholder and you're surrendering it yourself. Now, if you take this option, you should only do so if you're working with a financial services professional to make sure you understand what the implications will be.
Yeah, so the policyholder, if he surrenders it for cash, sells it, or takes cash out of it, that's different. But if you're the beneficiary of an insurance policy and a life insurance policy, that is tax-free. So that's good to know. And if people are saying, hey, I don't have a beneficiary to leave this to, they can always use my name. I always throw that out there to be helpful. Anthony Thomas Shore, if you don't have family you want to leave it to, you can just put my name in there. That's fine.
Yeah. You'll make sure it goes to good use, right?
Oh, yeah. You know that. Well, this has been a great show. Once again, good show. But before we go, why don't you let our listeners know, Cole, how they can set up that no charge, no obligation consultation and get a strategy in place, talk about their tax situation and where they're at financially.
Absolutely, Tony. They can give us a call anytime at 715-355-4445 or visit retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka.com. And you can, of course, schedule in our Wausau office, our Eau Claire office, or virtually if that works better for you.
All right. That sounds great. And listeners, that does it for another episode of Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole.
Thank you for listening to Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Sue and Cole at Bushka Retirement Solutions and Bushka Wealth Management. Call 715-355-4445 or visit them online at retirewithbushka.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Wisconsin. Insurance products and services are offered through Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, and Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.